Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Having served you now for close to 30 years, depending on where you slice it and dice it, 27 as a physical brick-and-mortar facility, we're here for a while, and we're here for a while longer. That's what I can tell you. We appreciate your faithfulness, your loyalty, your business, and we appreciate you. We appreciate our clients. We truly do. We absolutely, really appreciate your patronage over the years. Trust me, it means a lot to us. And it means so much to us. I know this business inside out, upside down, backwards and sideways. I've been doing it for a long time. I have kind of a strong banking, money, mathematics, economics background. You name it, I've kind of been there, done that. I got the pretty resume with the letters and, you know, the M's and all that kind of stuff, but God led me to what I do today, and thank you, Lord. He has given me the opportunity to provide what this industry needed, in my opinion, which was honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction, which is what we post below our name. The Coins Plus name was established in the 1990s because I was a coin guy, and I still am an avid coin guy. I love coins. Love them, love them, love them. If you even had a clue how amazing coins are, coins have been there through everything all the time, and they're the real stuff. They're the thing that everyone has handled, that everyone passes forth and moves along. They've been in the middle of every society, the middle of every transaction. Even Judas sold Jesus out for some coins. The Pharisees brought Jesus a coin and said, "What do you do with this?" And he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." What did he mean by that? Interestingly enough, folks, this was fiat currency. Fiat means by decree. Because they said so. The paper money that you have, which is becoming few and far between, is fiat currency. It's made by a private banking organization called the Federal Reserve Bank. And it's only money because customer A and customer B, or I should say customer A and vendor B, agree. If you and I agree something's worth something, for that point in time, it is. But we are facing an absolute economic meltdown. This is coming apart at the seams. If you look at the amount of currency, money, fiat, fake, false, lie, decreed garbage that's been produced since Trump left office, do you know that when Trump left office, our deficit, there's a couple of different things. There's debt, deficit, and unfunded liabilities. If you look at our deficit, our deficit is pushing $32 trillion. When Trump left office, it was $21 trillion. Think of this. Do you even... Here's the problem. You don't get it. You know how I know that? Because I have a master's degree in applied mathematics and statistics. Actuarial science, if you want to be technical. Where I was trained to do all the statistical and probability analysis for large corporations and insurance companies. I was trained to be the brains behind the brains. I don't get it. I don't really comprehend what $1 trillion is. $1 trillion is 1,000 billion. It's 1,000,000,000. They're just numbers. They don't even make sense. You get these whack job Marxist nut fruits that are just, excuse me, but pissing money away, just pissing it away. I know someone's offended. I said that. I apologize. But let's be real. When is it time to speak the truth? I'm going to go with, how about now? There are scriptures that, you're not going to like this, but they tell us there's a time and a place for a curse. What? No, I'm a holy, righteous, perfect person, and I've never done anything bad, and I'm afraid of my own shadow. There's a time, folks. Sorry. But there's a time. There's a time that nothing describes it better than a little teeny weeny weensy weeny little curse. So I'm past that now. If you had any clue economically and financially, we have gone into a realm, an indescribable, unidentifiable realm of madness economically. You have no clue. You have no clue. Every man, woman, and child in America, please stop and think about this for just a moment. Every man, woman, and child in America, this is deficit, not unfunded liabilities now. Just in deficit. What is deficit, Kevin? It's paper money. It's money that, it's not paper. It's the currency that has been created. We have a fractional reserve currency system that operates on a 9-to-1 ratio basis. What does that mean? That means if we have $31 trillion in deficit, that's cash, that money, liquid flowing water, most of it's probably given away to Muslim countries and God knows who. We have 9 times that in unfunded liabilities. What's that mean? Debt. So with $31 trillion in deficit, we have $280 trillion in debt. What's that mean? I don't know. Because our minds can't even comprehend it. But let me explain one thing. Go back to deficit, cash, money. There is hypothetically 300 million people in America. Hypothetically. I'll add 20 for illegal immigrants that aren't recorded. Who cares? Let's stick with the 300 million. $31 trillion divided by 300 million is $1 million-ish. We're going to go with the ish. And when I was in college studying mathematics, I didn't get to do the apostrophe ish when I finished a test or an exam, but we're going to do that today because it's simple to understand. That means you, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your uncle, your grandmother, your friend, every one of us owes over $1 million. You probably have 60 grand in debt here, there, and elsewhere, or more, whatever, who cares? That's hard. Try $1 million. I'm suspecting the average listener to this show would have a heck of a hard time paying back $1 million. I know I sure would. Yet this is what the liberal establishment has done to us. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that conservatives are always right. They're crazy. They're reckless. The train is moving, baby. They're not stopping. We are on the tracks. When you set up a system that is designed to consume cash, money, what is money? You know what money is? It's the product of your work energy. When you work, you get paid. When you get paid, you put it in the bank. Used to be when you put it in the bank, you got a little bit of interest on it and you can lay back. Not anymore. Now we got inflation rates. Oh, wait. We have to keep jacking up the interest rates. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. We got rate increases today. How much was that?
75 basis points.
Do you even know what's been going on? They keep jacking the interest rate. What's that mean, Kevin? It means that inflation's like 20%. We have this thing called the Consumer Price Index. Because the most important thing you need to remember and never forget is you can always, always, always trust your government, right? Just for those who didn't get it, sarcasm. They tell you interest is 10%. 10%, that's obnoxious. But that's way low. Whenever you hear an interest rate figure through the media, double it. Every single time. Why, Kevin? Because I know what I'm talking about. Reagan started it, and I'm telling you, I go back to this over and over. Everyone's like, Reagan. He did some really establishmental, aggressive behavior. All the drug laws, illegal search and seizure. He started to remove, he was the first one to start removing items from the Consumer Price Index. And I love listening to economists. Trust me, I've studied master's level economics. The more you study, the more repetitive it becomes. It's common sense. If we agreed today that rocks were money, we would have a lot of money, but you wouldn't be able to buy anything. If we were trying to determine how many rocks it took to buy food, transportation, real estate, and energy stuff, it wouldn't be by the rock, it'd be by the ton, because we'd have so many rocks. This is what they're doing to you today. If you're a working man or working woman, your wealth is being stripped away and stolen from you. You are running on a treadmill to nowhere. I'm sorry, but this is the truth. So what do you do? I mean, seriously, what do you do? Clinton removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy from the consumer price index. Thank you, Bill Clinton. Slime dog. Why? Make you feel better. You feel better. You got Arkansas. You feeling better? I don't think so. He removed it. And now you don't even know what is going on. Folks, we are walking into the 30s, 1930s in this country. What does that mean? When FDR took over, he's a radical socialist. He made the rich richer than rich, and he made the middle class poor. COVID did the same thing. You may not even realize how much money was transferred during COVID. I know personally principals. That means president, CEO, vice president, etc. of major C corporations. And you're like, what's a C corp? And I know a lot of people will talk and they won't explain. A C corp is a publicly traded stock corporation. An S corp is a privately traded stock corporation. You have an LLC, a limited liability corporation, which gets a lot of the rights that an S corporation gets with privacy, and then you have sole proprietorships, which is a business in an individual's name. Few people choose sole proprietorships because liability. There's what's called a corporate veil, okay? When a company has a corporate license, you can sue the company, but you can't sue the individual. There's no individual liability unless there's a criminal complaint, okay? And so the FBI and all these lovely good people that help our country become so wonderful can go after these guys, and they're never going after the right guys, let's face it. Right now, they're going after political enemy number one, two, three, blah, blah, blah. This is not about making America great again, the MAGA movement, which, believe me, I'm not being sarcastic towards Trump. God bless his soul. He's a wonderful man. I have, as time has moved on, I have become more and more confident and comfortable with this man. It's very interesting to me that Donald J. Trump's name is Trump. I like it because I've discussed it before and I'm going to do it again. The definition of the word Trump. Hear me out here, boys and girls. Is final overriding factor or resource. That's what it is. You get like weird scriptures in the twinkling of an eye, in the moment, at the last trump shall sound. It means trump card. I'll admit I'm going to confess some sins here. I've played a little bit of cards in my day. Yes, sir, I has. I grew up high school, we'd have card games. And I'm going to sin more, I'd have a couple beers. If you got the trump card, you win. The trump of God, it says in 1 Thess 4. You know, and then there's, of course, there's more, but we won't get into that. But the definition of the word Trump, and you're going, sacrilegious, Kevin, that is apostasy. I don't even care. I just said his name means what it means. Is that ironic? Is it coincidental? I'm going to go with no. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that his name is Trump for the same reason I believe Biden's name is Biden. I'm afraid to even look that up anymore. Because Biden, when I was growing up, meant a waste of time. Now I look up these things and they're like, Joe Biden, President of the United States, politician. No, that isn't the definition of the word. Biden, definition and meaning, Joseph, Rob, blah, 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 Robert, born 1942, wrong. They have scrubbed the meaning of his name. His name means to waste. I printed it up years back because I knew it was coming. They got to scrub her up. They got to clean her out. You can't have truth. Truth will kill you. What's Jesus say? The truth will set you free. But not mankind. No, they have to control the truth you get. And do you know how many people are like, I'll be discussing stuff with them. Hang on. Click, 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 click on their phone. Google says this. Google. Google's your God. Google's got to be right all the time. And then you think in your mind, there's no way that Google could scrub all this stuff. It's too much information. That's wrong. They have over 2,000 PhDs on their staff. I've heard this out of the horse's mouth. It's a fact. They have over 2,000 PhDs of every little singular split division you can imagine. Cleansing and scrubbing and cleaning and manipulating and washing the information that you see and get. They are controlling us at a rate you can't even imagine. They are putting us to sleep with anesthesia. They're making you brain numb. And then there's people out there going, I don't use Google. I don't use nothing. I just sit in my rocking chair and I knows what I knows. You're not increasing your intellectual capabilities either. Study our founders. Why were they so brilliant? Just the spirit of the Lord came down upon them? No, they were intellectually stimulated. They read and read and read and read, and guess what? They had nothing better to do, because when the lights went down at night, they'd turn on their little lamp. They didn't have electricity. They would read, and they would learn, and they would read the original source. Books were respected and much more rare than they are today. Thomas Jefferson has 6,000 books plus in his collection in the Library of Congress. You go look at that. Every one of them, marked up with his own handwriting, scribble notes, 6,000 books. And people are like, another thing I got to hit here. I've had this a few times. Well, you know, our founders were Freemasons. And Washington, D.C. is built in the shape of a pentagram. No, it's built in the shape of a star. Yeah, but it ain't the Star David. That's correct, because they weren't Jewish. Yeah, but it's five-pointed, and 5 points ain't biblical. A pentagram is an upside-down star that represents the demon, Satan. It represents the ram's head in an evil manner. If you look, and this is cool. Our founders built Washington, D.C. in the shape of a star. And yes, it goes at least five stories deep underground. God showed me this. I saw it. I was walking down a street at night when I was there, probably midnight or 1 a.m. after the shooting had taken place. The guy who turned in the DNC for corruption and good old Kevin had to walk down the street with my wife and see where it happened. Well, below me, I found I breached a little bit of property. And there was this huge grid, and I could see down five stories, and I saw people moving down there. Not a lot of them, a couple. It's true. However, that star, the shape of Washington, D.C., the head of the star is the White House. You move to the left, you have Congress. You move to the right, you have various, the Jefferson Memorial, etc. The White House is at the head. People flip that thing over and go, look, it's a pentagram. It's not a pentagram, it's a star. If a star is satanic, then every star on our flag is satanic. Every star that represents a state is satanic. Does that make sense? You think that's how they did it? Oh, yeah, we're going to just put up Satan symbols for every single state. Don't buy the lie. I have studied Freemasonry not as a practitioner, but as a student. And I bought into that stuff for a while, and I don't know. I've heard it all. Don't buy into it. They tie Freemasonry in with the Illuminati. You know, people who are evil are evil. Bad is bad and good is good, and that's that, and I'm going to leave it there. But do not discount our founders in any way because you think you read a book that said they're some kind of Satanists. Lie, 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 lie. These are good men. They loved our nation, and I'm not, you know, I could go through all David Barton stuff and all this, and I'm not going to do it, but I'm just telling you, don't drink that lie. What's the hardest thing for us sometimes is to take something in that doesn't fit what we've already accepted. But never, ever be afraid to swallow the truth. And I'll tell you what, folks, wisdom is found in knowing the difference between being 99% right and 100% right. I can give you a slew of information that after you hear enough, you'll go, well, by golly, that's the truth. And then I can drop in one more fact and you'll go, holy moly, that wasn't true. It's based strictly on the information you've been given, so be so careful. It's the same with pre-trib rapture. Oh boy, here's some people, they're bad, you know, hair standing up on your spine right now. You want that pre-trib rapture so bad. Show me. I mean, seriously. Don't say, oh, so-and-so wrote a book and said that. You show me where it says that you are going to be pulled out before the Great Tribulation. It the Bible just doesn't say that. I studied the tar out of it. And right after I studied it way too much, and I have an entire legal notepad full of notes biblically, up, down, and sideways. Shortly after that, I had the experience of going to, and Tim LaHaye came to our church. We were going to Northview Bible Church back in the 90s. Or maybe whenever it was, I don't know, 2000-ish, I don't even know. But Left Behind series, oh yeah, really, that is, to watch that stuff and to think, well, that's my God, really? Your God's going to yank all the believers straight off the earth. Planes are crashing. Buildings are burning down. There's no firemen. Babies are dying in the streets. People are getting tortured and burnt and cut up. That's God? You really believe that? Who is your God? Here's the problem. We're afraid. Fear is trash. God is great. Faith and fear occupy the same part of the mind. They've shown this scientifically. You can't have both fear and faith at the same time. You can be laying on the Normandy beach with bullets flying around you going, Lord, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me. And there's people that have that story, and he did. Because it's scary. But when people get into gripped by fear, you become seized. If I'm on the beach in Normandy right now, I'm like, Lord, please save me. I'm not telling you I'm some superhero. I'm just saying, you want me to go? Please let that bullet go clean through me and take me out right now because I'm looking forward to seeing you, Lord. Honestly, I'm ready to roll. God gave us a desire to survive, but it does not mean that we live in fear. We can't live in fear of anything except what? What does God tell us that we can fear? Only he who can take your soul. There's two people, Satan and Lucifer. And Lucifer is magnificent. I don't care what you say. It is God's greatest creation. He was the most powerfully beautiful. I mean, can you ascend to heaven and go chat with God, see how things are going? Talk about Job. Hey, what about this guy? What about that guy down there, you know? Of course he's happy. You've blessed his socks off. And God's like, all right, slice him up. I mean, and you're like, well, that ain't right. That ain't fair. Yeah, not according to our standards. I grew up in a world where my mama taught me life ain't fair. And as soon as you get that in your head, you're a lot more productive as a citizen because you take personal responsibility and accountability. Nowhere in the Bible does God say life is fair. He never does. He tells you to do what he says to do, to have faith in him. You can be empowered by him. And I did a research here about a year ago, deeply, how that works. Because every year God gives me a lesson. And that lesson that year was free will. And God showed me. Go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And then search the Bible throughout. You show me one person who did nothing. And God did it all? No. God set up a system where you move internally first, externally second. And then you get his superpowers, which is exactly what they are. It's called supernatural for a reason. Natural is our physical life property. Super means over the top, above and beyond, extreme. God gives us supernatural powers when our heart and our will turn towards doing something good. As we unify his spirit with us and seek him, and then we begin to move. God always gives me a visual of a guy sitting in a house in a rocking chair watching the boob tube. For those of you who aren't my age, that's the television. Staring at it going, Lord, give me a job. I need a job real bad. Hang on, let's see what's going on The Price is Right. Well, let me turn to The View. Listen to these five liberal women spew ignorance. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check CNN. Get some more filth in my mind. And expecting the Lord to show up. He can only empower the empowered. You have to lift your head up, get out of your seat, and try. That's actually biblical. And if you want to go old school, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, Kevin, that ain't in the Bible. Well, yeah, it is. It's everywhere in the Bible. God gives us personal accountability for our actions, behaviors, thoughts. And folks, let me tell you something. It is so not about your perfection. If you grow up in a Catholic environment or you're married to a Catholic spouse, you're under judgment unless they shed that spirit. That spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. Every single one of you is broken in some way, and me too. Okay? So here's the deal. If you cower and you go sit in the corner, you ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting there doing nothing. You're not blowing it as bad as the guy who's doing something. Do you judge the guy who's doing something? You get my point? The more action someone takes, the more risk they take. The more risk they take, the higher the likelihood of making mistakes. Humans call them mistakes. The book of Proverbs says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. 7 is infinity in ancient Hebrew. And it says the wicked fall down and stay down. Well, I ain't doing that again. You know, I went down there and I did this and it was tough and I fell down and I ain't doing that again. I'm afraid. You know, the best thing you do is you get up, you dust yourself off, and you go do it again and again and again and again and again until you get it right. And then when you get it right, you get to go on to God's next test. If you're walking with the Lord, you're never going to stop being tested. You're never going to stop being stretched or grown. But you got to go out. You got to try. You got to never stop. Speak the truth to others. Share the word. I mean, share the word in a palatable way. You know, like, it's not like, well, Jesus died for your sins all the time to people. They know that. Give them some intellectual stimulation. Talk about God. Talk about his magnificence. Talk about creation. Have something to share that's new and different and expands their mind to go into places that they haven't gone before. Everyone's heard, Jesus saves. You know, there's people that are at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and they got a guy on a soapbox on a corner going, you're gonna get saved or you're going to hell. And there's that 1 out of 1 million guys that are like, I'm ready, drop to their knees, accept Christ. They probably just walked straight out of jail and their life hit rock bottom. Our goal is to share Christ with people before they hit that level. Every man's purpose on this earth is to learn about Jesus Christ. Every man is here to experience Christ. Once you have Christ in your heart and your lives, everything starts to make sense. It doesn't make it easy, but it makes it right. It gives you a purpose. You realize God cares about you. Folks, I'm as broken as any of you. I mean, I'll go further. I'm probably a loser. You know, I don't know. I mean, in the worldly sense. I'm a broken-hearted individual a lot of times. I lay in bed at night and I just pray for God to forgive me my sins. And I beg him to give me strength and help me and carry me through. You know, I mean, this is the truth. But as far as it depends on me, I am going to try as much as I can to serve him properly. I have had people rip me off and steal. I've had some of the most rotten stuff done to me. And I hate it. And I don't understand it. And I just have to go to God, well, Lord, if you think I can afford that loss, then amen. You know? I've had the devil come at me 100 different ways. Plus. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that applies to my business too. As for me and my business, we will serve the Lord. Not every company who does what we do is the same. I promise you that. There's so much shenanigans that are taking place in this industry. It's ugly. It's interesting because it's like the oldest business on earth, you know, and Chuck Missler used to jokingly call me the money changer. And it was funny, but it wasn't. Because every time I'd see him, he'd go, oh, there's the money changer. The money changers is Jesus drove them out with a whip. You got to understand Christ. It describes in the Bible that he sat down and built a whip with like 6 cords. He sat there. Can you imagine? Your Lord and Savior, if you know Jesus Christ like I do, sat down. Don't ask me where he got all the different cords it discusses, but he wove them together patiently as the anger built. And when he was done, he went around and he whipped, whip, 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 whip. He kicked some tail. He beat some butt. Get the H out of my father's house with your filthy, money-grubbing greed crap. He drove them out of his father's house because he knew their spirit was dark and hard and wrong and self-centered and self-consuming and narcissistic, and on we go. This is Jesus Christ. You know, and we get taught, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Yeah, he does. But love don't look like candied apples. There's a time and a place for everything. You think of Jesus whipping these guys and kicking their tails out of there, and then you get these newborn, you know, the new age people. I won't spank my child because it's physical abuse and I don't want them. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. We're human. We're sinners. We got a will and we got a spirit. Break the will, keep the spirit. What's the spirit? I've discussed this with sentience. It's your ability to observe yourself observing. The spirit is what makes you who you are. The will is the flesh. And we have to overcome our flesh. No one ever does it perfectly. I can't stand. I think it's Arminianism versus Calvinism. Both of them are stupid. Calvinism's like, well, everything's preordained and predestined, and you just blah, 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 blah. You know, Arminianism is everything's just kind of up in the air, and it's a blah, blah, blah. And Arminianism says you can become perfect on earth. Yeah, right. There are scriptures that say, be perfect as Christ is perfect. But guess what? That's not what it says in the Greek. This is what disgusts me. I've started studying the Bible in Greek and Hebrew because of this exact reason. The word that they translate as be perfect as your Savior is perfect means be refined, be sharp, be the best. Seek Jesus Christ as your standard. It doesn't mean that you can become perfect. Give me a break. If we could become perfect, the world would be pretty good. So if you buy into that one, I'm sorry, but it ain't happening. You're not. You know what's worse is if someone thinks they're perfect. Can you imagine that? I actually know a guy who subscribes to that fallacy, who literally believes that he can, and he sometimes may believe that he has achieved that. I mean, I'll leave it there. You can use your own imagination. That's not a pretty thing. And the guy's a very powerful spiritual leader. He has authority over more people than anyone I know in the Christian church. I'm talking like respected by millions. And it's a Christian, and I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just telling you, that ain't right. What's the point of the whole Bible? Well, once you got there, you're perfect. You don't have to do nothing. You know, we got to have humility. That's the cool thing about our experience on life, man. We are walking a tough walk. You know, humility is everything. Shutting our mouth when we want to talk instead of listening, you know, and just hearing people's hearts. Searching people's hearts. Letting them share. Letting them, you know, not judging. I mean, folks, people have struggles, deep struggles. Just going, oh, you're addicted to A, B, C, or D. You just got to quit. All you got to do is quit. Well, why? I mean, how? Why did they get there? How'd they get there? What's their life about? Now, I'm not saying to sit there and listen to someone whine all day about how tough it was coming. I mean, I got a story, I'll tell you, but I mean, trust me. Been there, done that. But no one wants to hear that. When my dad died in 2016, he had gone from being my worst enemy to my best friend. And I went into a slump that was ugly. I mean, I just got dark. It was heavy. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, at the time, I mean, I just went into this dark black hole. I had people taking advantage of me. I was making stupid decisions. I was depressed as could be. I didn't even know it. Till Christmas hit. Or no, it was Father's Day of 2017. We're sitting around. We lived out on the lake. And I had a huge rock fireplace. And we had our family over. And I opened up a bunch of clothes my wife had bought me. If you don't know me, I always wear Tommy Bahamas shirts. Love them. I'm a Tommy Bahamas addict freak. I love Tommy Bahamas everything. That's just me. People call them Hawaiian shirts. Call them what you want. I like them. So I'm opening these clothes, three boxes in a row, and they're gray and white and dark, dark charcoal and white. And I'm like, and I look at him like, okay. My wife's like, are those okay? And I go, yeah, they're good. But they're a little bit drab. She says something so wise to me. She goes, honey, have you seen your closet? So I went into my closet. And I used to take my older, if you will, quote marks, Tommy Bahama shirts and bring them in. I'm a big boy. I'm about 6'2", 3", I'm 240 pounds and not fat, but I'd bring in my shirts that I was kind of done with, and I'd give them to my bigger employees. And I remember specifically bringing in everything bright and shiny and lively and fun and going, that's just excessive. So I had gutted my closet. I went into my closet. And I'm telling you, folks, it was black and brown and charcoal and dead. I never even knew it. Good old-fashioned depression. I didn't even know I had it. I'm like, holy smokes. I had gone into a slump. I had fallen in love with my dad at a rate I can't even explain. I prayed for my parents for 17 years. And trust me, things got worse before they got better. One day out of the blue, my mom calls me and goes, Kevin? And this is after a series of negative events had occurred in my life and a bunch of weird deceptions had been revealed. And she's like, Kevin, did you know the Bible says this? And I'm like, yeah, I told you that, Mom. No, you didn't. Did you know it said that and that and that? And I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you. No, you never. That's the parable of the sower. The seeds were not taking root at the time. She ended up stumbling into a, Bible study fellowship. Coincidentally, it was the first week of the first year of a 7-year study, and to Christ she came. The next week, my dad was out of town because he used to help a friend of ours up on a big ranch in Montana guide hunters. My dad used to guide Billy Martin, who was the manager for the New York Yankees. And when Billy Martin would come out and stay at the Anderson Ranch, he wanted my dad there. He'd bring out some Yankees with him, and my dad was one of the best outdoorsmen you've ever met. And he was gone, and he didn't want anything to do with this religion stuff at first, so my mom went and found a good church. Even though we were raised Lutheran, you know, the first church of the Frozen Chosen. And then a few weeks later, she found this church. My dad came, and he came to Christ too. So both my parents came to Christ after 17 years of prayer. And actually, after I'd kind of thrown up my last prayer to God, and after 17 years, some stuff came up, and I said, Lord, you can have it. I said, You say your will is that everyone be saved, and I know you love them, and I just tossed it up to him. And I said, I've prayed this endlessly, and I was going through a period where it's like, do I need to pray the same thing every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 17 years, or did maybe Jesus hear me? So I threw that up, and then 6 months later, boom, here comes the phone call. And my dad went from not being much of a father to being my best friend. He and I shared our business experiences together. I got him into the coin stuff with me. We had a blast, an absolute blast. But when he passed away, it was a dark moment for me. I mean, it was just, I didn't even realize it. I didn't know how dependent I'd become on him. But he'd become my best friend, you know? That's how Jesus works. Sorry. Anyway. So in the last couple minutes I got here, I apologize. Sorry. Anyway, so to kind of wind things up here a little bit, folks, I never know where I'm going on these shows. It's like, anyway, the bottom line is, folks, I mean, seriously, to spin back to your reality, this world is in a tailspin. We've got Russia threatening nukes. We are literally under spiritual seizure, okay? But there is hope. Jesus Christ will not let you go. He's not going to let you down. God is strong, he is faithful, and he is good. We have to put our eyes on him and keep our eyes focused on him. He is faithful. My piece in this whole deal is financial. I know money. God put me in this place, and I'm telling you right now, I don't care what you have. If you've got 401ks, IRAs, whatever, I promise you, the meltdown that is coming is going to be so ugly, it's going to blow your mind. This is not Fear Factor 101. I mean, this is reality. Stop being greedy. There's nothing drives me crazier. I talked to a gal the other day and she's like, well, I don't want to cash it out because I'm losing money. What do you mean you're losing money? Well, it was up to X and now it's below. You don't even know what losing money is. It will evaporate. I mean, folks, they're putting in digital currency. They're going to control everything and it's coming fast and it's coming hard. COVID was a warm-up practice run. It showed how pathetic we are. Oh, yeah, that put my mask on. I need my vaccine so I can fly. I want my vaccine so I can travel. And here, I'll put my mask on because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. How many people just caved cowardly? Oh, okay, I'll put my mask on as long as I can come in your store. How pathetic. And you might be like, Kevin, you're bad, bad, bad. Hey, the science ain't there, bro. The science doesn't say the masks work. In fact, I can show you 400 medically published journal articles over 40 years globally testing masks to try to help healthcare workers not get sick. It's contact. Not masks. It's not aerosol. You're not spitting on people all day long. Your body doesn't, there's a microscopic little bit of spit that got on my shirt. And no, that ain't it, folks. It's touch. You can't believe, if you watch people with masks, they're touching their face, they're touching the sink and the toilet and the bathroom, and they're touching the doorknob, and they're touching the door out of the store, and they're touching merchandise, and they're touching everything, and they're shaking hands, and then they touch their face 20 times a minute. The masks increased transmission. I guarantee you that. Because people were touching, grabbing, pulling, stretching, moving, adjusting nonstop. It's terrible. All it does is make you sick because you're breathing your own air. God made us so our lungs expel harmful items, if you will. Harmful, whatever you want to call it. Bad stuff. We expel bad. We inhale and then we expel. That's how God made us. But no, you got to breathe into this little, diaper in your face and sit there and rebreathe your same old stuff. I mean, come on. How stupid. If God was that dumb, he wouldn't have done that. He would have made us with a mask, a filter. And here goes Kevin again. I went way over my time again. So I guess for those who listen on the radio or on my website, secure your finances in God's true wealth, gold and silver. Thank you for tuning in. Take care. God bless and have a beautiful evening. Thank you.